Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Listen to Philosophy Talk every Tuesday at noon on KSJE 90.9 FM, Farmington. Eleven minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Monday morning, the 21st day of August, 2023. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Bicklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County. In Durango, Colorado, we're broadcasting at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet and want to tune us in, go right ahead. We're always broadcasting on our website at ksje.com. If you want to watch what's going on, please join us on Facebook or YouTube, because this is, of course, a visual radio station, and the video of this program is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page and also to our YouTube channel. So welcome aboard, everyone. We are glad that you are with us today. Coming up, it is the start of the fall semester here at San Juan College, and so, as is tradition, the president of San Juan College, Dr. Tony Hopper Pendergrass, will be my guest here in Studio A in the next few moments to talk a little bit about the college's accomplishments and looking ahead at the new semester full of students and faculty and staff. So join us for that coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE Today. Later on, of course, at 8:50 a.m., it's our Monday reboot segment. We'll be talking technology with my guest, Lewis Campbell from Synergy Computer Systems. That is coming up on air and online today at 8:50 a.m. here on KSJE. Next hour, we switch to our classical music programming. Mick Hess will be here roving with the arts, our weekday classical music program beginning after the news at 9:06 on KSJE. We also invite you to connect with us on our Twitter page, which is now known as X, and our Instagram page, in addition to Facebook and YouTube. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. The list goes on and on. So check out and maybe find a new local program that you may have missed. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, let me give you a look just a few moments ago at the campus of San Juan College. As traffic starts to build for the start of classes here in a few moments, it is currently 74 degrees in Farmington at the moment. It's kind of an overcast sky so far. We're calling it mostly sunny at the moment, and our forecast calls for a mostly sunny day today. We're expecting a high of 92 in Farmington, partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 68. It'll be partly cloudy, cooler tomorrow with a high of 87 on Tuesday, 84 with partly cloudy skies on Wednesday, and then another chance of showers in the forecast for the end of this week. A 50% chance of showers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, with highs each day in the mid-80s and overnight lows in the mid-60s, and maybe a 70% chance of showers in the forecast for overnight on Thursday. Back with my guest with more right after this on KSJE. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The most important ingredients to sustaining health and wellness are the resources and tools that help you live a vibrant and healthy life. At San Juan Regional Medical Center, the goal is to promote health by making sure those resources are available. Find the path to the best life at lifebetterhere.com. San Juan Regional Medical Center. Better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. It's time for the 34th Annual TOTA Festival over Labor Day weekend at the Farmington Civic Center, featuring Native American artisans, food, a cultural expo, an authentic Navajo rug auction, and more. Don't forget the TOTA 5K River Run and Walk and Joe Tahoney Jr. and White Mountain Apache Crown Dancers. The TOTA Festival, September 2nd and 3rd at the Farmington Civic Center, is a jolt-worthy event. Find out more at farmingtonnm.org. KSJE is supported by the San Juan Symphony, presenting classical music concerts in Farmington and Durango. The San Juan Symphony reminds you that current season ticket holders can renew their seats until July 31st. New season ticket sales will begin on August 8th. Tickets for the general public for the 38th season of the San Juan Symphony, New Horizons, begin on September 5th. Find out more at sanjuansymphony.org. Joining me this morning, which is tradition on the first day of any semester here at San Juan College in the fall and spring, the president of San Juan College, Dr. Tony Hopper Pendergrass, is here with me this morning. Dr. Pendergrass, welcome back to KSJE.
Thank you, Scott.
Good to have you here, and happy first day of the fall semester.
Oh, thank you. We're excited about it.
Things are getting busier and busier, it seems, here with students arriving for classes, and they'll be doing that here as we talk and getting ready for a busy fall.
Right.
It looks like, and numbers are looking good. I know you'll
talk
more about that in just a moment. So that is exciting to see. But I wanted to talk about some of the things that you mentioned at last week's convocation, which was kind of the all staff and faculty gathering here at the college and talking about some of the things that the college has been achieving over the last year and some of the things to look forward to this year. And one of the themes was kind of food and food security. And that was another big message that we all heard about, and that is something that the college, I know, takes seriously. We have a number of resources on campus to help students maybe who are food insecure and things along that line.
Yes, absolutely. We're so grateful to have the Harvest Food Hub and in partnership with the city of Farmington and all of our local farmers, but we're trying to really provide fresh produce for our students that need it as well. And throughout the week, this week, when students are coming back, you'll notice that we have food all over the campus. You know, if anyone is insecure and is hungry, we want to have just food laying all around.
Right. And as we look at the kind of the pyramid, that's one of the very basic needs of a human being, right? To know that
absolutely.
They know where their next meal is coming from before they can start even thinking about maybe going to school or learning new things or what have you, right?
Yeah, most of us learned about that in psychology, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Right. Very good. And so that is kind of one of the basic things. So nice to see that the college is kind of focusing on that a little bit this semester, as we do every semester.
Yes, food and housing and security.
Right. Very true. Well, moving along at some of the other things that you shared with the group at convocation, I wanted to bring a couple of the things into play. One is the numbers of dual credit and headcounts and full-time equivalents. That graph is showing improvement and getting back to maybe where we were pre-pandemic, I guess, right?
Absolutely. We're thrilled that we had a 19% increase this past year. But we're really trying to, as you mentioned, get back to our pre-pandemic levels that we had before the pandemic.
Right. And so we're still just a little bit of ways from that, but the
yes.
trend is moving up, which is a good thing to see too over the last few semesters, last few years.
Yes, so. Definitely increasing, and we have wonderful relationships with all of our school districts in the county.
Right, and this graph says the numbers increased 19% in 22-23.
Right.
And so for our radio audience, I just want to make sure they mm-hmm. understand the numbers that we're talking about, because these are very significant increases.
Yes.
And so
they are.
That's another important thing. Good. Moving on to talk a little bit about numbers and success rates by different types of students. And this was degree-seeking students in yellow and the dual-credit students in maybe the more purple bars for folks who are watching us on video this morning. But this is showing kind of an interesting comparison, I guess.
Right. And so we're thrilled that our dual-credit students are just as successful as our degree-seeking students. In fact, this past year, they were more successful, marginally, you know, 1 to 2 percentage points. But we know that our dual credit students are definitely prepared for college and are doing well in those dual credit college courses.
Right. And that brings up, again, that relationship you mentioned that the college has with the school districts, right, to offer these mm-hmm. dual credit classes for their students.
Yes. We work closely. We meet with all the superintendents every month. They also have monthly dual credit meetings with all of the principals. But the success rates this past year for dual credit students was 77% earned an A, B, or C, or versus 75% for the degree seeking. So we're very pleased. with these success rates.
Right. And how does that compare to other institutions offering dual credit? Is that what we see elsewhere, or is this special to San Juan College?
It's pretty typical that dual credit students do well.
Okay. And again, I always like to plug dual credit because it's such a great deal for parents, right? The mm-hmm. kids get to take a college class and not have to pay for tuition and not have to pay for the books. That's all covered by the school district, I believe.
Yes. Many of the school districts pay for the books each time. Some of them, they'll just pay for one, but most of them are paying for all the courses.
Gotcha. That's a good deal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So there you go. Well, congratulations to all the dual credit students. Here is another graph that you shared about some of our dual credit students in orange and a regular student in blue and a San Juan College High School student in yellow and how they're doing, right?
Right. So we looked at students that are sitting next to each other in the same classes side by side, and how are they doing? Because some courses you may have all dual credit, or you know, if it's at the high school,
right,
or on the college campus, you may just have you know, all degree seeking. But for the courses where they're all interdispersed, we looked at the success rates, and the most successful were our San Juan College high school students at 82%, and then at 75% are our dual credit, and then 70% are our degree seeking that are not taking dual credit.
Gotcha. And most of these, I think actually all of these are kind of showing an upward kind of trend a little bit, maybe a little dip in the San Juan College student number from 72 to 70, but all kind of maintaining those levels.
Right.
And that's kind of what you want to see. You want to see a little higher, I would think.
Absolutely.
Right? But that's how they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another good measure of student success here at San Juan College. Here are some transfer numbers. The increase in the percentage of Associate of Arts and Associate of Science graduates who successfully transferred to a four-year institution within 1 year of graduation. And so the goal was 40% by 2026, 2027.
Right, and our baseline was 25.3%, so we wanted to move it to 27%, and actually in 1 year, the staff at the transfer center were able to work with faculty and students and move it up to 37%. So we've almost hit our goal after 1 year of the five-year plan.
That's amazing, and that's like 3 years early.
Right, exactly.
Of what you're hitting, trying for that 40%. Are you going to raise the target then? Is
it's
that what's going to happen?
4 years early.
Thank you, four years. But does that mean the target gets raised then, if we're going to meet it sooner
I'm
than later?
I'm not sure. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. But that's exciting. And that, I guess, bodes well for students thinking of coming here and transferring out that to another institution, that they will be able to do that and have support to do that.
Absolutely. We have a transfer center, and we have two staff members that do a great job in that area.
Very good. Excellent. Another graph I want to share here as well, as we move the page, another graph about transfers, right, which is increasing the number of students going to partners at Fort Lewis College and Western New Mexico University, and increasing that by 20%. That was the target.
The target was 20%, and they are actually preferred partners. They work very closely with San Juan College. Western New Mexico University actually has placed an advisor on our campus to assist. And in the past, Western only had a couple of students transferring to Western, but through our teach-up program and some other social sciences and other programs, they've actually increased it by 422% instead of 20%.
So I want to let that number sink into our audience for just a moment. 422% increase.
Right.
And over what you were talking about. And so that equates to about 152 students.
Right.
Who were transferring.
In the past, it was just a couple at Western and 36 at Fort Lewis. And now it's 152 to both institutions.
Right. And when you say these are institutions of choice, is that because we were working closer with them for making sure credits transfer and things along that line? Or what does that signify?
Sure. So for Fort Lewis, I had met with the president a few years ago, and we worked together, and they offer a lot of scholarships for students. They waive out-of-state tuition. They also provide a $1,000 scholarship if you're part of our honors program. So I think that, and then we also had a grant to encourage people to transfer to Fort Lewis, a formalized grant. I think all of that has helped.
Gotcha.
And then with Western, it's their advisor being placed on our campus, and they've actually hired quite a few people here locally through our Teach Up program so they can attain their junior and senior level courses without leaving home and take those here on our campus. So I think it's kind of a mix of some different strategies to encourage that transfer.
Understood. And makes it a little extra maybe worth your while or worth your pocketbook to maybe look into these two schools.
Yes.
If you're thinking of transferring.
And then also with the Teach Up, we were able to secure $2 million, $1 million for San Juan and $1 million for Western to support anyone that wants to transfer. So the Opportunity Scholarship really helps all students that want to earn a bachelor's degree here in New Mexico, any citizen.
Right.
But the Teach Up program also pays for any other expenses such as books or so forth.
Nice. Very good. That's a great benefit for these students that want to do that. Next, I want to ask you about experiential learning. Mm-hmm. And this is something about kind of tied to the college's strategic directions, which is number two, developing initiatives, helping students earn short-term credentials, document hard and soft skills, and gain valuable work experiences. And again, this one shows an increase between 2021-22 and 22-23 with these programs.
Right, exactly. So
I didn't want to read the whole slide because it's your slide.
No problem. Basically, we want students to obtain great jobs when they finish, and we want all students to have that because they come to us for a better life.
Right.
And we're pleased that we were able to place 392 students in internships and apprenticeships and service learning opportunities this past year, which was a 14% increase.
Nice. And this, I would think, helps both the student and maybe the employer, because maybe they can pinpoint or look at maybe a future employee if these students are working out so well.
Yes, and we'd like to all the employers to know in the area that we're able to obtain some grants. So some of these grants even pay a large portion of their wages as well. So we're trying to work closely with our career services department so that they really see our department as a conduit for their help meet their workforce needs.
Nice. And a little bit of payment for those students too, so they're not just getting credit, they're getting some money maybe in their pockets to pay for gas or whatever.
Tuition,
those things, sure, you bet. Completion and success data is the next graph I wanted to share with everyone, a little bit about some of those rates here.
Right, so last fall, all the faculty received their individual student success and completion rates, and then that was disaggregated by race, gender, ethnicity, and so forth, and then we compared that information to their peers. So we asked everyone to look at that information. This year we'll ask them to have a conversation with their dean about what's happening, what are some goals that maybe could be developed, but I think it's really helped our outcomes data by really drilling down and trying to develop strategies to help our students.
Very good. My guest this morning, San Juan College President Dr. Tony Hopper-Pendergrass is with me. We are talking about some of the messages that the faculty and staff heard here at San Juan College last week during the annual or semi-annual convocation in the fall and spring, which happens before the start of the semester, of course, which is happening today. And we're going through some of the things that the president shared with the audience last week. Here's another one. This is the increase in the Hispanic student population here at San Juan College.
Yes. So we have a goal of becoming what's called an HSI, Hispanic Serving Institution, within this strategic plan. As you can tell on the graph, we're either at 24 or 23.7%.
Okay.
And so if you attain the 25% level, we will be eligible for grants under what's called Title V. And these are federal grants that will bring some more resources to the college if we have a 25% Hispanic population. So we're just on the cusp of that, and we're very optimistic that we will reach the 25% within this five-year plan.
Nice. And the college, I know, already offers a lot of, again, resources for Hispanic students and others, but certainly that group is certainly well represented here.
Yes, and we have a Herencia Latina Center that has developed six programs regarding, or six, they've worked with six high schools in the county to do parent empowerment programs at the high school, and they also have an advisory committee that helps provide, guide their work.
Nice. The graph to show is retention of students, right, to make sure that they maybe come back semester to semester, and this is what this is talking about?
Yes, it's about our first-time, full-time students, and we're trying to make sure that they're retained. If they start one fall, they come back the following fall. Mm-hmm. That's just one metric. And we're pleased that the last 2 years, this cohort has been retained at 69%, which when you look at the top 10 community colleges in the nation, we're within that band regarding our retention rates, fall to fall retention. So we're very pleased.
Nice. It's important, I think, to remember that a lot of students who choose to come to San Juan College are maybe first generation college students and their families, and maybe they don't have mom or dad to ask about what it's like because they're the first ones in their family maybe to go on to higher education.
Right, exactly. And these are leading indicators that generally lead to graduation. And that's
right.
What we're trying to do is influence these leading indicators so we make sure students finish.
Exactly. That makes a lot of sense. And so this is showing that they are coming back.
Yes.
From semester to semester, these first-time, full-time students here coming to San Juan College. We'll move on and take a look at the next slide that you shared. And there was a lot of information shared at Convocation. There always is. But it really is interesting, I guess, when you look back at the year and compile this presentation, you were mentioning, too, that there were maybe a lot of things that you had to leave out because you're limited on time at that event.
Right. I started with over 50 slides and worked it back down to 30-something. But it was hard to cut some of those things out. But
I bet.
We're one of the slides that you shared was we're building a new health center on our campus.
Yes.
And we owe a lot of gratitude to our state legislative delegation, which provided $1.1 million, and our local delegation really worked hard to provide that for us. And then also Congresswoman Teresa Ledger Fernandez also provided us with $1.1 million for that, for her through her community projects funding.
Nice. That's federal funding.
Yes, right. Federal. So half state, half federal, and we will have a center to meet all of our students' physical and mental health needs here on our campus.
Nice. And I think that's another important addition with the addition of housing and other student needs. It's nice to be able to have a place on campus, right, to go for these students.
Right. And we have already remodeled a temporary location, which is affectionately called our cultural center, but it will open September 5th.
That temporary location.
Temporary.
And then this will be built, hopefully open next fall.
Right.
Fingers crossed.
Exactly.
That's what you're thinking. I think the location's going to be in front of the HHPC.
Right.
If
they're
I
just
remember
doing
the drawing.
An addition. Yes, that's correct.
A bump out or something.
Right. A bump out.
Right there. So close to the housing.
Yes.
So makes sense. So there you go. But that's a pretty significant chunk of money, $2.2 million.
Yes. And, I think it's an appropriate location as well because it will be part of the Health and Human Performance Center.
Very true.
Our health center.
Physical and mental, you bet.
Right.
That's very true. Well, congratulations on that. And again, another, I guess, example of some of the partnerships, both state and federal, that the college has to get this money to the campus.
Right.
Very good. Some of the other things that are happening, there's some demolition going on, I know. The 30th Street, the old Burlington building, as it's affectionately known as, I think, an annex.
Mm-hmm.
Those buildings are coming down, and that was kind of, I think, in the plans as the college purchased the other building there on 30th Street with the Farmington School District.
Right.
And moved those offices and things and programs that were in those other two buildings into that bigger building.
Yes, and that will occur next month in September.
Right. I think they're already kind of taking some parts of it down over
right.
there, but that's happening. Anyone who's driven on campus has probably noticed some road construction and some other big projects that are happening as well. Those are all as part of a larger, I think, grand design to kind of move some of the traffic on an outer ring around campus and
yes.
and leave it a little more pedestrian friendly close in.
Absolutely, that's exactly why we're doing that. And there'll be a little bit more of wayfinding, some our entrances. We're going to kind of make those a little nicer, and in some parking lots.
Very good. And some more directional signage as you make your way out around campus, I think, to find different things. And so, and that, I think, is supposed to be done by November? Most of it, right?
So.
We're hoping. But if folks are coming on campus this morning, just follow the signs and we'll find a spot for you.
Yes, and public safety is also directing people as well.
Very good. Very good. And I think one of the biggest parts of this is the new archway in front of the main entrance, right on College Boulevard, which I think will be a really nice addition to entering the main entrance to campus.
Right. I think it will look really nice, and it's across the street from our new temple.
Yeah, right. That's true. And we're adding a roundabout.
Right.
On campus. Mm-hmm. So that'll be another addition. So, and then the third bullet here I wanted to ask you about too is this highly preferred employer, and that's kind of interesting as the college hires faculty and staff and others. You want to know that folks want to work here and want to apply to work here and things like that. Is that kind of what this is showing?
Yes. So we're really pleased that we're designated as a platinum family-friendly employer here in this region. I think the other platinum family-friendly employer is Basin Home Health, but the Human Resources Department really analyzed how many of our potential hires accepted, our first choice candidates accepted our offers. And as you can see on the slide, for the past 3 years, that has ranged between 85% and 93% of our first choice candidates have accepted. This most recent year was 88%. So we're pleased with that, that people that apply here want to work here.
Right, and accept the offer to come and join us.
That we're competitive.
Right, good to know. And so that's an important distinction as well, as we talk a little bit about that. The other issue to talk about last fall, I think it was, the bond election, and the community supported that, and some projects coming from that bond, $7 million on general obligation bonds will help fund projects here on campus.
Yes, and we just can't thank the community enough for their support. They have always supported our local and state bonds by an overwhelming majority. And so we have four projects that we're really excited about. We're relocating our physical plant building to more of the exterior or the perimeter of the campus. We have a mountain bike park that a local nonprofit FAST has worked on helping us develop. But now we will be able to have what's called a pump track, which we are told will really help to attract visitors to our region based on that amenity. We also received a grant to provide bathrooms up at our mountain bike park as well. It's used quite a bit. If you're driving by Mesa Verde, you can see that a lot of people are using that mountain bike park. So we're excited to make it even nicer.
It's kind of right down there by the intersection with 30th Street and College Boulevard. Is that what you would say on the west side of the road, I would say? And it does get a lot of use, and it's only going to get more use, I think, with more improvements, and that's what this money will go for.
Exactly. And then in our theaters, we will be doing some replacement of rigging and curtains, so we're excited about that. And then lastly, we'll have retractable bleachers in our gym.
Right.
And we're having more and more tournaments in there, especially like basketball or pickleball. So like, for example, the championship, they'll be able to bring down the, be able to bring down the retractable bleachers for the championship games in those tournaments. So I think it's something that we've needed in that area for a long time.
Very true. And if I remember, that was part of the original maybe plans for the HHPC. And I think they weren't able to be included originally just because of cost. But it was always expected to have bleachers in the gymnasium over there. And now finally, they'll be there for these types of events, as you mentioned.
And they'll be very nice.
Right. So that's exciting. So again, thank you to the community for passing those bond issues, which will help in a bunch. And I think, again, the pump track at the mountain bike park goes along with some of the county and city and state initiatives of outdoor recreation.
Absolutely, and we wanted to support those initiatives, and again, just thank you so much for supporting our local, state, and our state library bonds as well.
Right. Very true. Other grants that the college is getting, it seems like, well, and if you see the increase there, I'll let you talk about that, a lot more money coming to the college in the form of grant money.
Yes. Dr. Lorenzo Reyes, our Vice President for Economic and Workforce Development, and his team, Devonna Coolidge and Jody Bittaw, just do an amazing job in our grants office. The goal was to increase our number of grants. Competitive awards by 5%. They actually increased it by 97%. So we just can't thank them enough. We were able to bring in over almost $13 million in grants. These are multi-year grants, but we're thrilled with that support so we can help our students and our community.
Wonderful. And that's up from about $6.6 million
right
the year before. And so that really does help and helps fund a lot of different things on campus, from programs to other things that we're able to offer.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about. So that's great. And let's see. Let's move on to the next slide there. Here we are. Ah, accreditation. This has got a lot of people's attention, probably everybody's attention here, it should, at the college, because this is an important thing that happens every 10 years for
right.
institutions like San Juan College.
Yes, we will be having a visit from our Higher Learning Commission next spring at the end of February. So we've been preparing for that visit, and we've developed a draft document report to send to the Higher Learning Commission that's due in December. But I think we'll be fine, but we're making sure we're prepared for the visit.
Right, because this accreditation means a lot of positive and great things for the college to ensure that credits are accepted and many other things too, correct?
Yes, and that we have high quality instruction and that we're doing everything that we're supposed to be doing as a higher learning institution. And colleges that usually don't have accreditation are not solvent.
Gotcha.
You know,
right.
If they lose their accreditation, they lose a lot of resources.
Right. And so that's why this is so important. And mm-hmm. there's really a lot of folks working very hard of dotting every I and crossing every T and putting these reports together and kind of showing, I guess, a lot of data backing up what we say we do with what we actually do.
Exactly.
And that's what this commission will be looking at, I suppose, mm-hmm. when they come for their visit.
Right.
So, very good. All hands on deck.
Exactly.
It sounds like to me. So, that's happening. And again, once every 10 years
right.
is when this comes along. Enrollment. We talked a little bit about enrollment. And, of course, enrollments are looking good this fall as well, from what we can see out there, if we look at the parking lots and the roadways around campus. But enrollments are heading in the right direction.
Yes, we're thrilled. Actually, the state of New Mexico had the second highest enrollment increase this past year compared to all of the other states. Most of that was probably have a lot to do with the Opportunity Scholarship that I mentioned earlier. So if anyone in the state is interested in pursuing a bachelor's degree, we try and make that available where their tuition and fees are covered through the state of New Mexico. Funding.
Right.
Our enrollment for this past year was actually up 6%. So we're really thrilled about that.
And that is another one of those areas, I think, where San Juan College is somewhat bucking the national trends a little bit, because I keep hearing that maybe enrollments in other places are flat or declining a little bit. But
yes.
Here they've been growing slightly, but still growing in the right direction.
Right. I think it's important to mention that, you know, we were pretty hard, as all colleges were, by the pandemic, but we're trying to regain that enrollment that we lost.
Right.
And we have been increasing enrollment the past 2 years.
That's good to know. Very good. Student housing, of course, here we are, the one-year anniversary of the opening of Nijoni Sunrise Suites. And that building continues to fill up, I think, with students living on
yes.
campus.
Last year we were about 2/3 full for our first year, but this year we actually have a waiting list. So we're very hopeful that we will be at capacity in our student housing.
Right, and that's about 150 beds.
150 beds.
And so and you kind of want it full or almost full in order for it to be effective and economically feasible and all these other things, right?
Yes, if we want to We want to add other phases if this is successful, but so far it's looking like there is the need.
Right. And I know the college did a lot of studying. As the graphic says, 20-year dream. I know that the college has been looking at maybe doing something like this for 20 years or even longer, probably.
Yes, Dr. Henderson, this was part of his vision, is to have student housing. So I'm really pleased that we were able to provide it.
Right. And it really has changed a little bit of the makeup of campus, having people here all the time.
Yes, we've made sure that we have the appropriate support services and adjusted our hours as well so that we have, that we're open.
Right.
And going back, hours.
Right. And going back to our previous conversation about the health center, I think, again, because you have students here all the time, it's nice to have a health center available to them while they're here.
Right. I think it's important to mention also that our HHPC, our Health and Human Performance Center staff, have offered a lot of intramurals for the students, and then they've also advertise quite a few excursions that students can participate in that are living in housing. For example, I know that they went hiking at the Beast Eye. Mm-hmm. They also went snowshoeing, hiking in Colorado. So all sorts of things that they're doing with them.
Nice, nice. And of course, here in San Juan County in the Four Corners, you could do hiking and snowshoeing in the same day if you wanted to. They probably
Perhaps,
yes. But you could if you wanted to do that. Also, congratulations for the student housing project because it's a LEED certifiable project.
Yes, we have a great partnership with Janes and Decker Parrich and Sabatini.
Architects.
Yes, architects. And out of all the projects in the state, we won the LEED Certified Building of the Year from the Associated General Contractors Association. So
nice.
We're thrilled about that.
Yeah, very good. Congratulations. Again, as we look back on some of the accomplishments of the year, right, that you shared at Convocation. We just have a couple of minutes remaining this morning, Dr. Pendergrass. I pulled, I think, a couple other slides from your presentation to ask you about as we get ready to move it forward here. The Achieving the Dream was a major part of the presentation on at Convocation, and this is another program, the college, one of 10, right, being selected to be part of this economic and social mobility initiative, Achieving the Dream?
Yes, Achieving the Dream, there's about 300 different colleges across the nation that are part of this initiative, and we were thrilled that we were selected to be part of an accelerating equitable outcomes cohort. We're one of 10 colleges that were selected through a competitive process. So we will have two coaches that will work with us for the next 3 years and help us to improve our performance outcomes. But they will work with us based on our strategic plan and what we see as our vision. So it's not, you know, they're not trying to force a certain model upon us, but they'll just be working in concert with us to help us on this journey.
And more, I guess, for students who are thinking of coming here or planning to come here, means more support for them and what they want to learn and what they want to achieve when they're here?
Yes, absolutely.
Nice. And that will take me to the next graph that I wanted to ask you about, and that I think is talking about pathways, the Rural Guided Pathways, which is another, again, kind of a program designed to help students kind of achieve that career that they want once they arrive here at the doorstep of San Juan College.
Yes, absolutely. So we were also selected as one of 16 in the nation for this program, but they're pretty much aligned, and we will also be working. We have one coach that we've been working with for the last year that is helping us as well on this journey, but it's just to get more students to the finish line.
Very good. And this is the Teach Up program that we've mentioned earlier today about some of its successes. And again, it is seeing a big increase in students going through this Teach Up program.
Yes, it's been kind of astonishing. We directed our proposal, and thanks to Senator Munoz and the Legislative Finance Committee and all of our state legislative delegation, they provided $1 million to San Juan and $1 million to Western. They also provided $1 million to Highlands and Eastern to support how can we address the teacher shortage. We plan to have 40 students the first year between Western and San Juan, but we actually had 166. So I know that the adjustments in the teacher salaries certainly helped this program, but we have a lot of individuals in our county that are interested in pursuing this profession. What's exciting to me is we really directed this towards, as a primary audience, individuals that are educational assistants or substitute teachers in the classroom. But we've even seen custodians or bus drivers that never thought they could become a teacher now have that support within the school district and the college partnering so that they can become teachers.
How cool is that, right?
Yeah.
Very nice. And that is happening throughout the state, I think, it sounds like, with the money that's coming in. And then finally, I think we'll end here. And this is this other part of the hydrogen hub that we keep hearing about, I think, from the state and federal government. But Samhain College is a part of this project as well.
Yes. So Alicia Corbel, our dean for the School of Energy, serves on a national board for hydrogen safety. And we were asked I was asked and Alicia was asked to serve on a workforce development group for the hydrogen hub. So this past year, we were part of that effort to prepare the application in partnership with Arizona, Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming. And so that proposal has been submitted. Three of the projects for New Mexico are located in San Juan County. So this could be a great opportunity for our region. And we were pleased that the School of Energy was certainly mentioned as a trainer of choice for this four-state region for hydrogen based on our excellent faculty and the partnerships we have with employers in this space.
Which is exciting. And I know we've heard a lot about it before. I think we'll only hear more in the years to come. It seems like the legislature is looking at some legislation to maybe try to promote that. The governor certainly seems to want to see some of that happen here in New Mexico, in addition to the Western U.S. And the fact that the college can be a part of that too, I think is great for future growth.
Yes, the governor named us as the Center of Excellence in Renewable Energy and Sustainability several years ago. And we had, at that time, several years ago, we identified four areas, one of which was hydrogen. And I think that that has helped us be so much further ahead because we've been working on this for 3 or 4 years before this application became available.
Right. I'm sure that's being noticed, I think, mm-hmm. by where it is. So wonderful. Dr. Pendergrass, we're out of time, I'm sorry to say, but I do appreciate your time of coming in and sitting down with me every time to talk a little bit about some of the accomplishments and looking ahead at the future and getting ready for a busy fall semester. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. I always enjoy it.
Appreciate you being here. Dr. Mm-hmm. Tony Hopper Pendergrass, the president of San Juan College. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.